Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padre Social Hour.
Padre Social Hour presented by United. We are live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Thanks to Tyson Ross for stopping by. He does not enjoy talking about himself. That's my take. That's not him saying that. That's me having had a lot of conversations with him the last couple of years. He's just like a modest, kind of quiet guy. Corey Brock from MLB.com is here. And by the way, he is on the Cholula hot seat. You talk to him a lot, too. I mean, just kind of humble and, you know, hey, I'm just doing my thing kind of guy. But what he's doing off the field, and we talked about it with those kids yesterday from Jackie Robinson, and obviously what he's doing on the field, pretty impressive guy, this Tyson Ross.
Yeah, I would say a man of few words, but he does make them count. And he's a good interview in the sense that, you know, he's very direct. You know, he'll give you some insight into what's going on. And but, yeah, definitely not a me-first kind of guy. And I think that's evident by his work in the community. I know he's done some work with the Monarch School down the road. And certainly a lot of these charitable endeavors and, you know, a couple of great parents and just knowing about a little bit about Tyson's story and growing up in Oakland. He remains close with, like, one of his very first teachers. And, like, when he made the All-Star team, that was, like, one of the first people I think he reached out to. And just kind of a fabulous experience. And, there's a reason why, you know, guys like Tyson Ross end up the way he does. And I'm not talking athletically, but, sure, like, a couple of very good parents. And his brother Joe, same way.
Yeah, we got to know him when he was a part of the Padre organization. And he didn't want to hear it when he was here, but 15 consecutive starts now without allowing a home run. It was Evan Gattis in April. The last home run that he allowed, that's a franchise record. That ties a franchise record for most consecutive starts without allowing a homer. And, like, this Rockies team, that's the kind of team that breaks up a streak like that. And he held them in check this weekend.
Yeah, and let's not pin this at all on Petco Park, pitching friendly and all that. This is a guy with real stuff. And I would stack his performance this year, Jesse, up with everything he did last year when he made that All-Star team. And, we know not to read too much into win-loss records, but you dig into some of those internal numbers and, you know, the strikeouts per nine, the whiff rate, the ground balls, ground ball percentage he's been getting, just tremendous. This guy is, I don't know what his ceiling is. All I know is he's nowhere near it.
And we asked about the series starting tonight with Tyson. Giants in town, and it's a 10-game homestand. 2-0 start so far for the Padres. Pretty big homestand for this team. It will kind of show us where they're headed coming towards the deadline.
Absolutely, Jordan. If these guys are going to truly make any kind of headway, it has to start now. They put themselves in a very precarious situation here, and let's not fool ourselves. These next 2 weeks are going to be very interesting leading up to the trade deadline. What will the Padres do? Will they buy? Will they sell? Will it be a little bit of a mix of both, which is kind of what I seem to believe. But, you know, this is a time to make some headway. And, you know, with the second wild card, these teams truly aren't out of it. And I think this is forcing general managers across the landscape of baseball to maybe hang on to their pieces until that absolute last moment, maybe, you know, 11th hour deal on the 31st.
It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks around all of Major League Baseball. Certainly one would think around this team as well. Corey Brock is on Twitter, of course, at Follow the Padres. Justin Upton, this oblique situation. There are conspiracy theorists out there, you know.
Oh, boy.
Everybody thinks it has something to do with something. He's had this for a couple of weeks now. He missed a game on the road trip.
Right.
And then he came right back in. I mean, this is a pretty straightforward situation, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. This is all about a guy that's hurt and you protecting one of your best assets and giving him a little time. I think the encouraging thing, Jesse, to come out of the pregame scrum in the dugout today was Assistant General Manager Josh Stein saying that they're encouraged by the way he's feeling today, feeling a little bit better than he did yesterday. Just really tightened up with him. Probably some of the weather had something to do with that yesterday. But, you know, I think give him a couple days here. It doesn't look like a disabled list proposition. So, you know, they'd like to get his bat in the lineup. He's a critical piece for this team tonight and moving forward. But you also have to be pragmatic about it and make sure this is totally fine with Justin before you run him back out there, because you don't want this to come up again.
And it's interesting coming up because you brought up the reshaping of the roster with something that could happen here by the deadline. Some pieces may be leaving, but that doesn't mean pieces won't be coming in. How do you see this playing out? Because there are plenty of options, and if we know anything from AJ Preller, he's going to listen to every option.
Right, and you know, and like I said, you know, this is not a team that's by any means mathematically out of this, or even you know, getting buried in the National League in terms of a potential postseason spot. I think we could all agree that the Dodgers and are the class of the division, and the Giants are kind of hanging around, but. You know, I would have to think that, you know, sizing up their pieces, and let's not fool ourselves. They have some very attractive pieces for other teams to look at, that A.J. Preller will be getting a lot of phone calls. But I think looking at some assets that can help this team this year and help them beyond. So, you know, there, you could look at this team. You could say Ian Kennedy is going to be a free agent. Maybe you'd like to get an arm to help replace that eventually. The team has long, long needed a shortstop, a true everyday dependable guy. The last one I remember, Jesse, was Khalil Greene in my first year here in 2007. So that's been a very tough position for this organization to draft and develop. So can they go get a guy like that? Then again, teams don't want to give that up either.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of teams in that situation.
Yeah, why would you want, you know, you happen to say in spring training, oh, we have all this extra pitching. Well, you know, like it takes, you know, 2 weeks in April and you realize, oh, no. And this isn't specifically pertaining to the Padres, but, like, you never have too much of anything.
No.
And so you need to hang on to your assets as much as you can. But, you know, you look at some potential guys on this roster, be very, very attractive to opposing teams.
I want to change course for a second. I know you were in Cincinnati for the All-Star game, and one of the things you wrote about while you were there was sort of the preparation for next year's All-Star game and the big group of Padres people that were up there to sort of take it in, take notes, learn, and try and apply some things to 2016.
Yeah, and I kind of looked at this a little bit differently this year, Jesse. I've covered several of these All-Star games for MLB.com, and, you know, you show up and you split up your duties and you figure out what you're doing. But, you know, I kind of looked at this with a little bit more discerning eye, maybe sort of how the Padres contingent was going to look at it. And, you know, they took close to 30 people to Cincinnati to kind of get an eye on what the Reds were doing in terms of hosting the event. And now when I say the event, I don't even really mean the All-Star game itself or the Home Run Derby. Those are mostly run by Major League Baseball, and teams have you know, very little control over what goes on. It's the ancillary events, really, which are very, very important. You know, there's the All-Star Gala, concerts. There's a parade route to figure out. There's a lot of different elements, a lot of balls in play. Fan Fest. Fan Fest is a big one. The Reds had theirs about a mile away from the ballpark, and, you know, that's not their fault. This is a venue issue, but, you know, with the Padres having the convention center right over the railroad tracks, I think it's going to be a huge plus for them. So, you know, I know Mike D said when they got back they were going to put a map up and start putting those push pins in there and figure out where some of these venues are going to go. And I think, you know, here in San Diego, I think you're going to see a lot more outdoor events. We had some inclement weather in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you know, shocker.
Summer in the Midwest. But, you know, I think you'll see a lot of outdoor events. I think you'll see the military involved. I think you'll see a little international flavor with Mexico. I think it's truly going to be a wonderful event, and the Padres are trying to do a very good job of getting out front on this.
Yeah, and this is something the Padres do very well. And they're going to have the gas lamp to use all of downtown. The park in the park, I'm sure, will be utilized very well. I don't know what you're personally looking forward to when it comes to the All-Star festivities, but the Home Run Derby and this Western Metal Supply building that we're in right now, I'm going to like the view of that on whether it's TV or in person. That's what I'm looking forward to when it comes around.
Oh, absolutely. I could see guys banging balls off the bricks here all night, and especially with the new format. I think we can all agree that was a huge hit. You know, they trimmed a minute off that because of fear of rain. And I'll be interesting to see if they keep that, you know, 4 minutes or five, you know, going into it. But I thought that really ran smoothly. And for any critics of the Home Run Derby beforehand, I think that kind of won them all back. That was an exciting event.
I don't get to say something like this very often, so I'll jump in. I spoke to Rob Manfred the other day, and he strongly suggested the 4 minutes will be the thing next year as well. They sort of lucked into it. You know, he's not trying to take credit for something that they didn't plan on. It was originally five, and, you know, with the rain threat in Cincinnati, they shortened it to 4 minutes, and he kind of made it sound pretty clear that that would probably be the same amount of time moving forward. It's like discovering uranium. You know, sometimes things like that just happen, and you got to go with it.
Yeah, the best laid plans, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Then something falls in your lap, and lo and behold, you have something wonderful.
And it created a lot of urgency for
the
Home Run Derby.
Yes, which is what made it so good. It
exactly.
was awesome. It was really, really awesome. Corey is on Twitter, of course, @followthepadres. He's got a lot of news and info updates at MLB.com and on Twitter. Injury stuff that you can go catch up on. Interesting news and notes. Certainly an interesting time of year for this ball club. Corey, always a great pleasure having you on the Cholula Hot Seat. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Our pleasure. Corey Brock on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. Take a break. Come back. More of your Twitter questions and comments. Ooh, look at that marine layer. It's foggy downtown. More Padres Social Hour presented by United right after this.